they quit problems with during the.
Okay, now we're going to shift. See, when I make lots of copies, nobody shows up. Because mom is supposed to be blown.
Thank you.
It seems the Muslims says the same thing. They say that God doesn't love what is actually. The Muslims says the same thing.
One more?
The Muslims says the same thing.
No, they say there is no God. If there was a God, he might love us.
Reconstruction.
I would say no, God, just bringing
in. I came across something weird in Mishnah Torah. So, in Yesodia Torah, the third paragraph, it says.
I have to tell you, now I understand why they burned the Rambam.
Who?
Rabbeinu Yonah, the other people.
Why
they burnt the Rambam.
Why?
Because you see that people can take the Rambam and come to the conclusion that God, since God has no emotions, to say that God loves you is heretical. To say that God listens to prayers as opposed to you improving as a result of your prayers is the only belief which the Rambam evidently sanctions in the Mordechai.
I
don't
read that, or I don't know. So you mentioned, you talked about this one just here, and we were wondering, why is that even in Yesodia Torah?
Because he holds that that's Maisa Merkava.
I'm sorry, Maisa Merkava?
Yeah, he's trying to explain what Maisa Merkava is.
Okay.
But at least he's the only Rishon who said that the whole thing about God
doesn't love us. I don't think the Rambam believes it either. I'm sure the Rambam believes that God loved you. But he, in the philosophical sense, when talking about God, defining God, he's saying you can't ascribe emotions to God. But people can take this, right? People can take this and abuse it, which people do. I said something. I said when the Anshei Knesset Hagdola, when they wrote in the Brachos Kriyas Shema, Ava Rabba Atonu Hashem Elokeinu. They're being very wicked because they're promoting false beliefs, you know?
You should have known better.
Yeah.
You should have read about the Rambam.
This is a crazy religion. All right.
I don't understand. Why don't they want God to love us? I'm just trying to understand it.
Because they believe that... Why don't want God to love them? You know, deep down why? Because I think it makes you more free if God doesn't love you. Because if God doesn't love me, I don't have to love him. But I think that's not what they will tell you. They'll tell you it's because they're big philosophers. It's philosophically they believe that it's untenable to say that God loves. Which is true on a philosophical level. But so what? It's also untrue, I tried to convince them this today, it's so pointless because they can't think straight. But it's also not true to say God does not love. You can't say God loves, and you can't say God does not love. Because if you say God loves, it's defining God in terms which are limiting. And if you say God does not love, you're also defining God in terms which are limiting to him. So what in reality, you can't say anything about God. Not that he loves, not that he doesn't love. Not that he gets angry, not that he doesn't get angry. Not that he hates, not that he doesn't hate. Well, what?
Sitting is no standing. Yes. Corner is no edge.
So all you can say, really, is that he relates to us in this way. He relates to us in the way of love, he relates to us in the way of anger, relates to us in the way of charity, in the way of judgment. That's all you can say. That's what we're supposed to say. Is that clear?
Can I ask a question about Avi Koresh? It's not so that there's a segue or something.
I'm in a very bad mood. Yes.
If you were to say that Olam Haba for instance, would it be considered apikorsis to say that Olam Haba is really just a different dimension of this world, where there's a higher level of consciousness, and we say we shouldn't take pleasure in this world because by taking pleasure in this world, you're defeating your purpose of helping to prepare the world for this new state of consciousness. And when people say that you're going to get pleasure in Olam Haba, it means that you're going to take that you're going to take the pleasure of a world on a different level of consciousness. So that's why you shouldn't take pleasure in this world, because by taking pleasure in this world, you're not advancing the world toward the state of this, let's say, the Olam Haba, or a higher level of consciousness. So that's considered out of the course.
I don't think so. Why?
Because I was curious. Does anyone say something like that?
No, he's saying it's a different level of consciousness, which means it's a more, it could be a more spiritual thing. He's saying he doesn't know exactly how to define it, but it's something different than in our world.
Oh, I thought he was saying...
The Mazda notion of Olam Haba is that it's this world just with more girls, more booze, you know, that's what it's about.
I thought he was saying that, that it was...
I have a complete tangent off of everything.
Tangent off of what? We never got onto the topic. If you do a tangent off of everything, then we're going to go back to the Yaakov. Yeah.
Okay. Just a quick one. So, it said that the amount you make is determined by God. But if you chart different people's education levels, there is a direct correlation with how educated they are, what level of education they have, how much money they make. I can't reconcile them. I know, like, I can't reconcile the two ideas that, like, I can reconcile the idea of it just being chartable. Like,
it certainly is chartable.
You can find, like, a good, decent range of how much a person's going to make.
Right, that's correct.
So, well, then, I don't know, I just, like, because, I mean...
It's a misconception.
Okay.
The Rambam says, if you want to be... I feel bad calling the Rambam now. The Rambam says, if you want to be... Not the show. The Rambam did not believe in things that these people believe in. Okay, the Rambam, his famous piece at the end of Hilchos Shemitah V'Yovel says, not just Shevet Levi, but anybody who wants to join the ranks of those who serve God day and night, God will give them a parnasa. But he says, a small parnasa. In other words, you have to be willing to accept. If you're going to learn to be talking, you have to be willing to accept that not that you're going to be supported to the extent which you want, but you're going to extend to the support that God wants, which may well be very, very infinite or small. Yes, if you made, to the extent you make a hishtaklut, an effort, so then you'll make more money. But on the other hand, I so far gave two hands. There's a third hand. Uh-huh. First hand was that you'll get whatever Hashem wants to give you. The second hand was that the more you work, the more you'll get. The third hand, though, is you have to take into account net, right? Not, what's the other word?
Gross,
right? Not gross, but net. So therefore, for example, nowadays people make $100,000 easily, right? But 60,000, if you're Jewish, 60,000 of that goes to tuition. Right? So therefore, you're really making $40,000. So it's possible that you would make $40,000, the tuition committee would give you a break and let your kids go to school for free. In which case, the guy is making $100,000, of course they won't anymore, but if the guy is making $100,000 and the guy is making $40,000, aren't essence making the same thing. The richer you are, the more expensive you have. That's in the Jewish community today, the worst thing you can be is a professional. In the middle, it's a professional. Like a doctor who hasn't struck it rich. Because you're going to have to pay full tuition. Nobody's going to give you off. You're a doctor, right? But on the other hand, you're not making enough money to pay that full tuition, and you don't even get the respect of being a rabbi. So you're just stuck as a loser on all counts.
Isn't
that a pleasant prospect?
Sounds awesome, but I was reading Chumash on the Rav, and it almost seems like to advocate like the most passive.
No, Chumash on the Rav said you have to have making shtaglus.
Okay.
The shtaglus has to be minimal.
Right.
But that's true. That was true. A, if you were to accept that whatever you get is enough, they only work, because one only works, the flip side is a mistopic remorse. You're happy with whatever you have. If you don't, if those, you don't have those two things, it's not going to work. Because...
They're about 100%.
Sorry?
You don't have a...
No, but 100% is not good enough either. Not can't have 100% because according to Chovas Avodah, according to other Jewish thinkers, you can. I don't understand them, but they say that. But according to Chovas Avodah, you can have, if you have 100% bitachon, you can make, and you're willing to be, say, Eidu Ashir Samech Lechelko, then Hashem will give you whatever you're supposed to get. If you're willing to trust Hashem. At the same time, willing to accept whatever he gives you.
Whatever
big or little, right. Then my minimal effort will translate into what I'm supposed to get. But I can't have be talking that God is going to give me a Cadillac. If I be talking that God is going to give me a Cadillac, that means I don't have be talking. Excuse me? Who says you deserve a Cadillac?
Well, I'm going to be passive, it's going to come to me anyway, I don't know.
You can't choose to be completely passive, except according to some extreme Jewish thinkers.
Mm-hmm.
The Alpha from the Bardic seems to say that. He says it based on an Al-Sheikh, that, you know, if you sit in a room and you learn all day and daven all day, then God will send the food.
Who's that
from? The Alpha from the Bardic. That's extreme, though.
How for you, so
he lived for 6 years. He lived by himself in isolation, and his family brought him a tray of food every day.
No, how was his son? He was rich, he was poor, he was extremely poor.
He started out being rich, but then they lost their money. Not because that before this.
He can't do that, though,
man. Ian, what's the matter?
I can't believe it. That's crazy. He just sat there all day. People just bring his tray of food. And they just dive in and learn all that.
Yeah.
Listen, this is cool. You just say, God's going to provide you everything.
Right, Shimon Bar-Yochai is also a good example. Shimon Bar-Yochai, he was, God sent him whatever he needed. That's all because all he needed was faith. Right? And, you know, what? And the Tzaddik was the one with the faith. So they, and also they took off their clothes and learned while they were submerged in sand. Yeah. And they only put on their clothes to daven. Okay? So what do you mean? What does it mean, Tachon? God will send you clothes, right? No, it's only, if you assume that you're going to get the bare minimum, God will help you maintain the bare minimum. not more than that.
So wait, you're
he chose to go out of the cave, and, you know, maybe, you know, grab some, like, plants, there's little plants going around, then you wouldn't have them. You had the opportunity to have more. Right? Okay. So you just chose to, take what...
Everyone can give them.
Huh?
That's what they say, Eizu Ashir, who's a rich person, has a mech b'chalko, somebody who's happy with his lot. The only way you can be happy is if you're willing to accept whatever God gives you.
You
know, that requires Ray Mazel. You can become Bill Gates. You don't become Bill Gates just by accident. And you don't become Bill Gates by working very hard either. Right? You have to be in the right place at the right time with the right product or the right service. That is how
the
meaning of
mind. You absolutely want to be in the right place at the right time. Nothing to do with you, with product, or with anything else.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
No, you say you have to take care of everything plus the right time, right place. I said you have to be in the right place at the right time.
No, yeah, I said with the right product.
Right.
Right? You can call it at the right place.
Okay,
well,
I'm
completely
from the
Shemayim. What?
Completely from
not completely, you have to make it established. That's a Pekka Pekka Mother Mishra told it.
So what is the Gwarim
when it says that? It says, Nizayna Sash Adam Ksuvim Al Mishra Shana, how much a person is going to get. But it doesn't say before or after his status, before or after his efforts.
So what does it mean, culmination of Shemayim Shemayim?
It means all the circumstances of one's life.
Oh.
But how much to work is also an aspect of Yerusha Mayim. See, that's the catch. Yerusha Mayim can include almost anything.
Oh.
So we say, Akovi Dei Shemayim Chutz Yerusha Mayim, it means everything is in the hands of heaven except for everything.
Okay.
That's not what the Yishvitzer says. The Yishvitzer says, nothing is in your hands except your attitude, right? But the pastor says that since your Shemayim affects everything you do, everything is affected by your free will. But, you know, it's only your free will. But if you choose to do the right thing because of the right reasons, it'll be successful. If you choose to do the right thing because of the wrong reasons, it won't be successful. And certainly if you do the wrong thing because of the wrong reasons, it's not going to be successful either. Yeah.
What are like, some of the things a guy's desire, a person's only desire should be to have Shem the mitzvot, or can a person have like for Nasa, or I think where is the different opinion regarding?
You gotta repeat that.
Like a person's desire, I mean, I think what the best way if it's if the desire is to fulfill all the mitzvot or to fulfill as many mitzvot as they can. But what about other desires as far as, you know, like so they desire the pranasa so that they can have a pranasa so they can serve Hashem.
Every desire, every human desire is good within reason. When it exceeds reason, that's when it's not good.
Is a person supposed to totally nullify their desires on the you're supposed to aim for that, right? Nullify your desires except for a certain issue.
Well, your desire, like the somebody said the Pirkei Avos, I say with Sonkha Kiritsono, as I say with Sono Kiritsonkha, make his will your will. So the idea is that those things, you should work yourself to those things dovetail together. But then it's not because you've relinquished your will, rather you've worked on yourself that your will and God's will are the same. Okay? I'm not sure, the whole concept of Rosh Hashem, of course, might be heretical, because it implies that God has a will. But, okay, even after that. Should we actually learn some Ein Yaakov? Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, who doesn't have a sheet? People who came in later.
So, when are we going to take the
Kishan?
The end of the
show? Yeah. At the end of the show, Mr. Shemashiach will come, all take this. I was going to invite everybody to my Purim Suda, but I see Purim Suda is in Yeshiva this year.
No, it's not there, isn't it? Yeah.
Isn't it in the Yeshiva?
In the Yeshiva. Yeah.
In the Yeshiva, yeah. That's what it says on the sign. So.
How about Shabbos by
Purim? It's fine. This Shabbos is also fine. What?
I heard you're going to be away for 6 weeks.
No, 3 out of 4.
Oh.
This week I'm here. It doesn't really have to be before Chatzos. It can be up to until Plag. You can start until Plag, certainly. If you miss Chatzos, you can go to Plag. I'm not sure what they're planning to do here. There's no schedule posted yet.
Isn't it a problem that you have to sober up for
why you have to sober up?
For Shabbos.
Why?
you can't daven when you're
only if you can't stand in front of the king.
Oh, so if you can stand, you can make.
You don't have to be. I once was, when I was in Chicago, I used to very often, after the poem through the Davin Marev as a Shliach Tzibur. I'm not sure exactly how many people were Yotze. There was one year when I started Chazaras HaShatz. and by Marv. I don't remember this. They told me afterwards that I did. Ah, those were the good old days. Okay. I have never gotten drunk with Prison on a Friday, just for the record.
No?
No.
Why not?
It's hard to get drunk that early in the morning.
You just have to drink with breakfast, that's all.
Yeah. Yeah, the Irish juice can do it. It's like the cereal. All right. So we are talking about the Lidyosin, of course, and we're talking about how Lidyosin, the male Lidyosin represents the intellect, and the female Lidyosin represents the emotional drives of the human being. And I'm not sure exactly where we go up to, but let's, in the first column of Harashba on this page, so let's start counting down lines from the top. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. 18 lines at the top. There's a little gap in the middle of middle of the line with a period in the middle of that, in that gap, and then it says Vav Aleph Kaf for the MK.
Yeah.
Okay? So the MK, we're the mind totally in control of the passions and the emotions. And the seichel will constantly be overwhelming the nefesh, the rest of the soul. Nizkak la tamid, and always, nizkak is sometimes euphemism for relations, for sexual relations. And here, that was used in the Gemara as euphemism for relations between the male idiot and the female idiot. And here the Rashba is saying, were the intellect always relating to the nefesh, so Tramishyaz Vekalamaru will always be clinging on high, Belisha Tisparade, without separating, Vitiskayim Betroch HaGuf, and it will be sustained in the power of the body, L'Olam Haba, in other Kinyan Elio. In other words, where a person's intellect completely and always in charge of his emotional passions, his body would be completely pure, because it would be completely ruled by his intellect, and he can go up to heaven alive, like Eliyahu HaNavi did. Ram Ram Ram, and Chazal, that's what Chazal say, Ein Misa below Chet, there's no death without sin, Vein Yisurin, and there's no affliction below Avon. And there's no affliction without a sin either. So that means that were a person to be totally controlled by his intellect, and not at all swayed by his emotions and his passions, so then there'd be no way he would sin, and there'd be no way that he would sin, so then of course his body would not have to die, his body could go up, so to speak, alive to the world to come. Okay? It's only because there's sin that the body has to die.
Does this mean it's literally?
Yeah.
He means literally. The sociopath would, since they're not driven by their emotions, would be able to go...
Absolutely! You got it! Eliyahu HaNavi was not greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. Eliyahu HaNavi had this midah that everything he did was driven by intellect. He wasn't the loving, warm, fuzzy kind of guy, right?
He killed two people.
What?
He killed two people in a fight.
Well, he killed lots and lots of people also.
Wow.
All the prophets of the Baal.
How did he kill them? He killed them?
Oh, yeah.
Fire.
What?
Fire?
No, no, though they ran them through a sword. Who are you referring to? Pinchas, right. Oh, the same idea. Yeah, same idea. Same idea. But in any event, the idea is that everything he did was based on intellect, and therefore he had no, his emotional passions didn't play a role, not even for the purpose of having Rachmanis. He wasn't even, that's the thing, he wasn't a warm, fuzzy, kind, nice guy. That wasn't his thing. If he saw a sinner, he would look at that guy as a sinner. He wouldn't try to get him around his clothes. when Hashem says, Elio, why are you not doing what you're supposed to do? And Rabin is rebuking the people. Elio says, what can I do? I was zealous for you, God. And he can't, and Hashem says, okay, so let's shift gears a little bit here, right? And Elio says, no, I can't. Hashem says, okay, well, then come up and be with me. I'm obviously paraphrasing. But the idea is that, what? Anything?
Yeah.
This is what I. Hashem said to Elio, listen, go back and be warm, fuzzy, and nice to the people.
Okay.
Elio said, no, I can't. So Hashem said, okay, I'm taking you up to heaven. So.
And then he had to die.
So Hashem said,
no, he didn't die.
He
didn't have to die because he was totally intellectual. But someone who's totally intellectual has no passions, also has no compassion. Do you get that one? Yeah, strict in. Compassion?
No.
Compassion, niceness.
Well,
I don't know the right word.
What? That's not what I get.
We don't want any radio.
We
don't want any
radio.
What? Because it says that Rabban Amalek actually addressed that and asked why the four people who never sinned died. Why the night of Leo? So he says, it's actually, it's a medrash. Medrash says that David said, Afilu chosid sheva chasidim l'shana not af mokam chavim. Even the most pious person, sometimes he does things for his own pleasure. So even if it's not outright sin, the fact you're doing things for your pleasure, that's emotion, that's passion. You're not following your intellect completely. That's reason enough to die.
I thought the reason why they died is because they still had the sin of other emotion.
No, it's the Elio got over that one.
So why
I just told you. Because they their own sense of pleasure. Which was not an avera, but in itself, the sense of pleasure is the problem, and therefore that's the die.
Well, if Yehuda Nasi said that, he didn't have an ounce of pleasure for himself.
He didn't say. He says from you know, that nation of Olam Hazeh Ozekul.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he had a he had sins.
Why?
Not sins like we have. Don't worry about it. But you know, he had there were certain things which obviously where he fell short. You know, the famous example. Mansura says that he didn't have rachmanis on a calf which fled to him to avoid being slaughtered. So he suffered from that a great deal. The point being that...
By the way, I didn't see what was so much wrong with his cow. What was so wrong by him not to spare his cow? It wasn't his cow, he was not in charge of it. He gonna get slaughtered anyway, a little later. What was the big deal?
You know the story.
Yeah, I know.
So the answer is, you're right, the cow's going to get killed anyway. But your job is to be nice to creatures. He just said, go, you were created for this purpose. That's a nice thing to say to a cow on its way to slaughter.
Well, the cow understands what you said.
What? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's not proper, you know, not proper sympathy, respect, warmth towards Hashem's creation. So for you and me, this would be meaningless, right? Because we're morons anyway. But for you and Nasi, this is a very, very severe thing. You don't like it, huh?
It's super, super crazy judgment. It's not microscope. It's like huge, 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 long microscope.
It doesn't work. How do you know against it?
What?
Each step you
yes, well, that's the Chazal say. Chazal say, "Kol Shbogim Medaktek Him Sviva Kuchut Hasayro." Hashem is meticulous with the people who surround him closely, like a hairbreadth. Everything is being measured.
No, that's
because that's a good reason to
not get
there.
Well,
one at a time. What?
Maybe I don't understand.
Don't worry, you're not.
What's this moron?
When you get there, we'll talk about it.
What's this moron?
What, Avram?
Thank you. So with Eliyahu, did that referring to the still small voice that Hashem wanted him, or how did Hashem phrase it like that? What was Hashem going to have him do? Like,
go back and say to people nicely, let's be good, let's not worship Baal anymore, let's worship God.
I wanted to try different tactics.
Yeah.
Winning people over in his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And what is, okay.
That wasn't his thought. Yes. Sorry, I forgot your name. Somebody's trying to say?
I just said morons anyway.
Oh, we're all morons anyway.
Yeah.
Yes. So therefore,
we
don't have to worry about
well.
It. Yeah.
So I mean, the Quran and the Baal Shem Tov in every season died so far, they were just to the point that it didn't do things for their own benefit. Is Leon and Hanabi and I guess Moshe the only cases?
No, Moshe also died.
Because then it says like he stole this person to every Jew and so.
No, he died.
Physically.
Okay.
What does it mean with physiocracy?
Yeah, everybody has. What does it mean? You know what it means? Not to have pleasure. It means that when I drink this coffee, I'm drinking because I want to stay awake to say sheer. I am. But I'm also drinking because I like coffee.
What do you mean, Yaakov Rovin?
What?
What do you mean, Yaakov?
It means he can come back if he wants. It doesn't mean that he's in this world now. But his Misa was not final. A tzaddik has the capacity to go back and forth.
Any tzaddik?
No. Certain ones.
Without being born, or?
Without being born, right.
Oh,
so
that's why you did it before.
Mm-hmm. So Yo is the ultimate example of that, because he didn't die. But the certain tzaddikim who died, we'll still go back to the most famous example, is Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, after he died, and one said he'd come back to his house to make kiddush by every Friday night.
Right?
So, what do you mean, he came back to make kiddush? He's dead, he can't be mercy then. Right?
Yeah.
Maximum of the way he was mercy then. So it means the tzaddik can come back to this world and take on a physical form.
And
like an angel can take on a physical form at God's command.
And people saw him? Like his family saw him?
Yeah. And the word got out and he stopped coming.
So maybe
they're
like,
maybe
they're still
going to be like,
sure.
Yeah. I don't think so. We're talking about here, Rabbi Nazi, right? Chav Chaim is a holy guy, but it's not Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, right? That we have to put everything in proportion, okay? You know, to the moron generation, anybody could be a holy guy, but, yeah. Okay, so, let's go further. Says the last, but this would be also similar, Gam Amu, they said, Barabba in the Medrash Rabba, by David, Shloya Potek Megirsa. David did not stop learning. You all know the story, right? The Malcham of it, the angel of death came to take him, and couldn't take him because he was learning the whole time. And so the Malcham of it made himself like a wood chopper, went out and started chopping wood, and David and Melch went outside, and he stood on the step, and the step broke underneath him, and he stopped speaking, and stopped saying words of Torah for a moment, and the Malcham...
Is that a mock?
It could be. And Malcolm Ovid said, gotcha, and took him. So the, so Rashba says, words of Leviathan operative, that means the power of intellect operative, so we would all be in that state of never ceasing to learn, and we would never be able to die. Right? And that's not good, because everybody has to die in order to atone for certain sins. Certain sins. So therefore, he says Hashem could not have made the intellect so powerful.
How could Yeshua be able to get into
that and said that
he's not drunk yet somehow?
Meditatively.
Yeah, superpowers.
What?
Yeah, superpowers?
No, he got it through meditation. His body stayed down here.
Oh.
But his soul went up. Yeah. What? Have you sure been lady? What am I right?
I'm trying to understand something. When we talk about Gan Eden, we say it's I heard a phrase today that Gan Eden is ultimate bliss. So I don't know what that means because when I think
how could you know what it means?
Well, that's what I'm saying. And what he's saying.
You want me to explain it to you?
No,
I don't know either.
He's fishing. He wants to
breathe. What's the story of
We don't know what it means.
So
the
ultimate question, I don't know what that means.
I don't know either.
People imagine it like it's like, oh, you better learn the Tar Sugya because you get like great pleasure, you get this portion of Olamaba. And what's Olamaba? Olamaba is this great pleasure.
You know what you're supposed to do?
Olamaba is the vacant to Hashem. And I say, well, I don't even know what that means.
You should imagine lying on the beach in Hawaii with your iPod. Your iPod in your ear, and your nice alcohol beverage next to you on the armchair, and either reading a good book or snoozing, right? On the sandwich, and with an umbrella over you, without an umbrella if you want to get tan, and oh my God, it's better than that.
Wait, I don't get it. Was that a good description? How
do
I know I even want to go in the world?
You have
to... What's
the
other thing?
So what we say is that it's everything you can think of pleasurable plus.
See, that's what I don't understand, though. Because
why don't you understand
it? Because this is what I'm saying. If you tell me something in this year that blows my mind, or I hear some Torah that blows my mind, it's not a state of pleasure, like if I have a physical pleasure occur. So it's more of a state of wonder that I'm put in, and all of the Torah in certain sense, to see these connections that are brought out in the depth of it. So to me, there's two different things. You have wonder on the one hand, which is I associate more with spirituality, and then you have pleasure. Like if his back's hurting and I go like this and give him a massage, he feels good. That's pleasure. So when people refer to sort of the scenario, you think they're referring to more of wonder or more pleasure?
Both.
Like both. So it's a combination of both. Yeah. Like this. Okay.
Look, that's what they say, the tzaddikim sit. What's the metaphor they give? Tzaddikim sit, and they enjoy the radiance of the Shekhinah.
Right.
It's like a big tanning. Right?
But
it's a metaphor, obviously. Yeah. And no skin cancer. What? I know those boring. That's why they tell you, you can't conceive of how wonderful it's going to be. Because for us, it seems that to remain in a state of bliss just becomes boring after a while.
How do I know
it's like somebody who enjoys taking baths, who sits in a bath for a long, long time. Sooner or later, he's got to get out, right? Yeah. So, but Olam Haba is not like that. Yes?
The Ramban says something about
years
about this time predicting the case of the
1200, yeah.
Did he say it's
on
the 6,000?
What? Did he say certain year regarding?
Oh, 1200 something, I think. Maybe
1300.
Oh, it was supposed to have
come? A long time ago, yeah. Yep. Wasn't right about that one.
Okay.
Wasn't right about that one.
What did he
say? He said the glue was coming, I think, in the late 1200s, early 1300s.
Is there something about 5800?
It's talking about every day. They're talking about every day, which hasn't happened yet. According to most sources, not according to the Ushami, it seems, yes. That's the important part to realize. Olam Haba is never described. Otherwise, it could be no machlokas. It's a big machlokas in the Rambam and the Ramban, right? Rambam holds Olam Haba is a spiritual place, and Ramban holds it's a physical place. If Olam Haba, if we knew what it was, how could they have such a machlokas? Right? But we don't know what it is. All we know is that it's a great reward.
Where do we derive, where's the source, where's the pasuk that alludes to it? Where do we come up with the concept? Where's the source for it?
One of the things that Moshe going to get when we get to land of Israel.
Well, Yabba Yom Hu be on that day, late area, or in the evening it will be light. So it describes that it's going to be this amazing spiritual day. Okay, Yom Shkula Shabbos, the day which precedes Shabbos, all these things are describing the world to come. Okay, what's the matter? Something's the matter.
No, what I heard today is a completely different stuff for the No, before your lecture, what Rafael said something like...
Yeah, I do know something going on. I don't know something going on.
Rafael said that basically, with a guy from the mafia and Sadiq had exactly the same place, but in a different level. But...
No! The same level.
Okay, fine. Same level.
It says that Hashem in the world sun will take the sun out of its container, and it is going to heal the tzaddikim, and it's going to torment, afflict the rishoyim. The same sun.
Yeah, but he says that one generation is more than have pleasure, another one that is completely bored and screwed and well.
What is this? There's nobody was completely bored. That would be Gehenna for that, but that's the Rasha. He's talking about the Rasha.
Yeah,
the Rasha, he's sitting next to the Gemara. So that's how the same son can be both reward and the punishment.
I understand, but if the second guy from Gemara, which basically used to just kill most of the time to do bad things over here, gets to the very same place after like whatever, 11 months or whatever, year or 2 years or whatever, burning.
No, he's always going to be behind.
What?
He's always going to be behind.
Behind
the... The person who was static his whole life.
What happened? Behind the time?
If the tzaddik goes to Omar Bar, he gets thrown, let's say this is the Rasha, this is the tzaddik, right?
Yeah.
So they go up like this.
Okay.
The Rasha's never going to get there.
Okay.
No.
But if he basically going to be in the same kind of Ganeden, but without pleasure, what's the point?
At first it's not even going to be pleasure.
No, okay, in the first 11 months you're going to get burned, whatever.
Probably
more.
Yeah.
Whatever. Fine, he did it,
still, the tzaddik has much...
Much higher level, but this stupid guy is still going to be somewhere close.
Right.
Far behind, but far over,
exactly.
Still there. With this piece of Gemara or whatever, it's going to be there.
Yeah, but he's never going to reach the tzaddik level.
Yeah, I understand. That's all?
Yeah, that's...
The 2 years, whatever...
No, you're going to Gehenna for many, many years.
Many, many years?
Yeah, it's not so simple to get into Gehenna. Have you seen Gehenna? Yeah, you have to be a big size to get into Gehenna.
Let's talk for a
little...
You have to be
excited
to get into...
Listen...
Yes!
Come on!
If I'll play some stupid pops or something you like in music, you know, there are people who don't like some classic music?
Okay.
It's just like that... What do you call
that? Heavy metal.
Let's say on the radio, you hear them three more of the whole song.
Right.
No, meaning.
Four.
So you'll pop it. You will have this pop listener and some tonic playing.
No.
Enjoy the music. But the other guy will do it. He will not be able to. He'll be waiting for that moment for that music to just shut up for 1 second because he doesn't like this violin. He just wants to hear bang bang.
But it's worse than that. It's worse than that because he feels
embarrassed.
So it's because he feels ashamed because that great light, which is the light of truth, with the tzaddik has some connection to it, he has no connection to it, so it's terribly embarrassing.
Those are reveals all the truth that the person has been mistaken for.
Yeah.
It's shameful.
Right.
It's that guilt that
now, what's going to be, like, there was a lot of mob guys who, like, during the Holocaust, they Jews and stuff. What happened to these, like, mob lock guys, like, when they die, like...
So, for some,
he's going to
be rewarded, and for some,
he's going to be a false punishment. First of all, they have to go through a lot of punishments, and eventually, whatever they did for the right reasons, they get rewarded for.
What kind of mafia guys said Jews?
Italian, the mob,
are you
mob?
Yeah.
Sure. The whole deal with the burning. We didn't talk about the burning?
I don't think so.
Talk about MTA, I'm not sure I'm going to be allowed to talk about it anymore. The Philosopher says, Chazal say that Gehenna, or the fire in this world is like 1/60th of the fire of Gehenna. So 1/60th always means a taste, because that's in halacha. If you have 1/60th, one part of prohibited, and 60 parts of permitted, it still gives a taste. Once it's beyond that portion, it doesn't give a taste anymore. So he says, there's no time to say, you're supposed to do like this. This is a charge of truth, Mr. Rav Dessa Mishnah says, Imagine you have a very hot fire here. You put one finger to the fire. Don't put more than one finger in your mind. Now imagine, therefore, you know it's like for 1 second, but like that, right? Imagine you have to hold your finger there for 5 seconds, for 10 seconds, for a minute, for 2 minutes, for 2 months. Only then go to the second finger. Imagine it's not just the first finger on the plane, but also the second finger. You can make a very elaborate exercise of this as gradually your entire body comes into contact with the flame over a span amount of time, and it will frighten the heck out of you. So the Bissell Kantor says, Chazal gave you that metaphor to frighten you, to let you know that as all that you can imagine is 60 times worse than that. Because otherwise, shame and degradation, which we suffer in this world, is very painful when we suffer. Everybody hates to be embarrassed. I hate to get called into my boss's office and berated by him, right? But as I was today once more, but that shame passes. I come to Arsameach, I can say a shir, which I enjoy giving, and I don't feel so embarrassed anymore, right? But in the world of truth, the shame doesn't go away. It's not, there's nothing to distract me from it. And therefore, it's just torment after torment after torment. So gradually dissipates over time.
How does tshuva work? Versus the burning?
Tshuva is being embarrassed over the sin. If you embarrass yourself over the sin, that takes away the need for Hashem to embarrass you over the sin.
Oh. I think, because you look back in your life at certain times and deep embarrassment.
Yeah.
And so that's probably a case of what someone mentioned this idea, is what a case of it's like.
Absolutely.
Much in one time.
Yeah.
Well, kafara also.
Yeah, a bunch of things take away, but this is particularly because tshuva is a result from being embarrassed by one's sin.
So if a guy, someone, sick with something, so if the
kafara
being sick also
take
away.
Everything does. Yeah.
Can you give us a clue to the gist of what's going on with Bilam or
Yashka? You know the story. I have to tell you the story over again?
Oh,
come on.
I'm building this clown.
Yeah. Well, he wants to hear about the boiling excrement. Okay.
I want to hear the story. But I love the story.
What? There's not much to the story. It's not a elaborate story.
How do we even know about it? What's going on?
The Gemara tells us.
Oh, really?
They have a different Gehenna.
What?
Oh, but there's a different
Gehenna? No. Everybody has a different Gehenna. It's custom made. I said it's custom made.
Oh.
What do you mean, how's it custom made? I don't know. Everybody is shamed in a different way.
What, did they like wash the lenses or something?
What?
How do they wash the lenses?
What did you say?
In the old days, you know, they have to like disinfect the lenses before. Just saying, they use the same, they don't use the same tools.
They have a surplus of tools. They're not concerned about that.
Okay.
You carry the tools with you. They don't have tools in Ganem. You bring them the tools. All those little avers you did, they're all flying around you, right?
Good.
Yeah, then they take them and they drive them into you. Yeah. I'm being metaphorical, of course, but you bring them the tools and they use your tools to punish you.
What if how one person that's in the air presents feels very bad, but he can't help himself but to make him feel bad again?
It diminishes the punishment of work.
You know, there are people who do
I know.
But they make a big mistake, but they can't
help. I know, it diminishes their punishment. It's good, at least that they realize they're making a mistake. Because Gemara says that if you do an Aveira and then you do it again, you start to feel it's mutter, in other words, you lose your shame. The first time doing Aveira, it says Hashem doesn't count the first 2 times a person does an Aveira. Mavir, Rishon, the same as
that.
Yeah.
Not even deliberately.
But this is not it's not an open account here. The revolving credit account. Because the first couple of times the person does an Aveira, he feels embarrassed by it. But once he does it again, because I'll say, Avar Rishonah, After the second time, not to look at her. Then he thinks it's already Musa. What do you think it's Musa? It says in the book that it's also, right? But he doesn't experience the shame anymore. He doesn't feel embarrassed. He rationalizes to himself, or submerges his discomfort. So therefore, from the third time on, that's when he's punished. Make sense? Yeah, so he says, because Mavir Rishon Rishon. Hashem takes off the first two sins. Okay?
How do you get a Gilgal? You apply for it?
You know, they take back your soul and they give you in the recycling section and the recycle afterwards. A Gilgal is, according to that recital, everybody's a Gilgal nowadays, except for very few people. So the assumption by the Mechubon is that there's a certain number you get in which you can fix yourself. I remember it's 3, 5, 7, 10. I don't remember the number.
But you have, like, if you don't progress, I mean, if you don't become just a little bit better, you get four times, but if you do, you can give more.
Okay, so anyway, so Google is a chance to come back and fix up when you messed up last time.
So then if I messed up last time, why don't I just also mess up this time?
You might.
And then, intentionally, and just, okay, my next kid's what I'll be doing.
You don't know if this is your last one.
All my acts of usher, for so many sins, I have sinned and I'll come back. Am I speaking to the other last one? They don't give him the tools to do too much. He should try anyway, but he's not going to get that tool. What?
What circumstances do you get a poof? You just come.
You don't have work to come, you just...
But in this world, I think we wouldn't have a free choice.
I think it's great that you...
If I saw somebody just get
pooped. Because you come back...
Very easy. No, some people do. They don't get hit by...
I know, to come back again, I have to go through this again. It's kind of a bummer to me.
Maybe that's what
What about then? Yeah.
Some people get cancer over there.
It will get eaten by the donkey.
No, does the donkey get some kind of Gan Eden?
No.
Well, the cow didn't work on Shabbos.
No, it doesn't get Gan Eden. It does get Gan Eden. You have to understand that there's a spiritual force which corresponds to that cow. That spiritual force will continue to exist in a positive way, but that spiritual force is not the same as in the Shema. Right? But all cows have angels. Those angels can continue to exist past the lifetime of the cow. And those angels are good angels and probably enjoy being close to God. But it's not an independent neshama. Whereas your soul is independent of any angels.
Well, what if we should have some people get inserted into, let's say, a horse to... You remember sometimes...
That's a temporary punishment.
What if a horse is a separate entity and that neshama is in that horse?
Yeah.
Just to go through that because somebody,
because
he was bad. But this is not now he's working on.
Okay, let's stop here. We're getting back to sheep so we can have him for next week.
Thank you.
Seeing how far we got.
Can we separate halacha and morality? Can you say there's morality?